Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
Amen, amen. Won't you just touch your ears and let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would let us hear what we need to hear today. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have us on a journey of faith. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you will give us the next steps, the next strategies, God, to continue in the purpose that you've given us. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 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 Well, we are living in a time when God's people need power. Amen. Not just talk, not just look in the part, but God's people need power. They need to demonstrate the power of God, demonstrate the love of God, demonstrate the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. So today I want to talk to you about God's great power. Look at somebody and say, God's great power. That's what we want to talk about today, because we've been talking about all kinds of aspects of faith. We've been talking about activating our faith, having more faith. We've been talking about persistent faith, faith like a child, just approaching faith from different directions. But today I want to talk to you about God's great power from Ephesians 1:19, if you'll go there with me. And it says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not just in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So, God's great power. Say it one more time. God's great power. God's great power is available to everyone that believes. God's great power is available to everyone that follows after Christ. If you have faith, God's great power is available to you today. There is great power, and it's waiting to be at your command. It's waiting for you to use it. If you're following after God, that is available to you today. It's not just reserved for special people. It's not just reserved for people that are good preachers. No, it's available to every Christian, everyone that believes. The Bible says signs and wonders shall follow who? Those that believe. Can we take this out of here for me? So, what does this power look like? Come on, help me out here a little bit, Kennard. What does this power look like? Jesus showed us what it looks like to be connected to the power. He demonstrated it for us, right? When we want to know what the power, what it looks like to be connected to the power source of God, Jesus demonstrated it. He test drove it for us. And he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He healed people that were affected by the major health pandemic of the day. Yes, that's right. He didn't retreat. He actually took it head on. He showed us what power looked like. He had wisdom that stunned secular and religious leaders of the day. He had answers to real world problems. So the question is, can you and I put on display the great power of God like Jesus did? Because after Jesus was authorized when he was baptized, every single day, Jesus put on display the great power of God. Actually, the disciples said, if we were to write everything down that he actually did, we wouldn't even be able to contain it. Every single day, he was connected to the power source, the great power of God. I don't know about you, but if you touch this in, Pastor Pete, there's no power in it. But if I connect this to a power source, like the car battery, or if I go to the power plant and I hook this up to some real power and I touch those ends, I'm going to feel something. So God wants us to get connected to the power source and through our faith be connected to his great power. This is what Jesus did. When he walked the earth, it said that he put aside his divinity. So it was very important as a man that he connected every day to the power source. He connected to the Holy Spirit of God that gives us great power. And so we, if we're following in Christ's footsteps, we can begin to tap into God's great power. Now, this is what Paul said. You want to know what Paul said? Paul said that you need to pray for this. He said, I pray for you to have understanding. I pray that you'll have understanding. Now, we need to also pray that we'll have understanding. You're not just going to be able to walk in the power, the awesome power of God, the great power of God, without understanding. You have to understand what it is. You have to understand how to use it. You've got to understand what ways that you need to use it. And so the Apostle Paul tells us we need to pray for it. Spending time with God, asking him to equip you, asking him to give you understanding, asking him to give you this power. As we pray, we are activating something. We are connecting to God's power. As we pray, we're gaining understanding of how to use our faith. As we pray, we're gaining understanding how to use this great power. We're gaining understanding what he's called us to do. Prayer is essential for us if we're walking by faith. Prayer is essential. Why? Because it gives us direction with our faith. Imagine you've plugged this up to the power source and you have all this power, but you don't really know in what way you're supposed to use it. Prayer gives you direction. Prayer helps you point your faith in the right direction. Prayer shows you how to use the faith, when to use the faith, when to use the power, how to use the power. So we gain understanding. Prayer and the conversations that we have with God point us in the direction that we need to be pointed and use our faith. If you can pray and gain understanding about how to use this great power that God has given us, you're going to do some incredible things in this life. You'll do miraculous things to build the kingdom of God. This great power is actually the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. It's not a different power. It's not a lesser power. It's not an alternate power source. It's not the backup power. It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave, from the tomb, that rolled the stone away. It's that same power, and it's available to you and I today. This is the same power, the power that brings dead things back to life, right? It brings dead faith back to life. It brings hope when hope is dead back to life. When your faith is dead, it brings your faith back to life. And yes, it even brings natural things that are dead back to life. My mom has a really, really close friend in Atlanta, and she is married to an amazing man. He's a great man. He's into real estate and was very great in business. But then he got a prophecy that he was going to be a state senator. And so they're excited about this, and they're just rejoicing in the Lord until he dies of a heart attack on the sidewalk. And they rush him to the hospital. They're trying to resuscitate him, Pastor Pete. And they pronounce him dead, the doctors. But his wife grabs a hold of his feet and starts praying and declaring the word of the Lord and stirring up the great power of God. Now, the nurses and the doctors didn't understand. They were trying to remove her from the room, but she knew something, that if she stirred up the great power of God, that great things would happen. And it's the same power that's available to us that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. So she began to apply this great faith to her husband that had not fulfilled the word of God yet. Can I tell you that he came back to life? And it's not that he came back to life drooling and being in a vegetative state. No, actually, he came back to life and he was a six-time senator, state senator. Because when we tap into our faith and understand that we have the great power of God at our disposal. How many believe that you have the great power of God? I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for the great power. I haven't just witnessed other people see the great power of God. Now, my grandmother, when she was small, she was sick, really sick, and she was on her deathbed, and they called the doctor, and this is when the doctors used to make house calls, and the doctor came to the house, and he told my great-grandfather, he said, "Your daughter's not going to make it through the night. I'm sorry, there's nothing that I can do. She's not going to survive." But they were a praying family. And as soon as they excused the doctor from the house, they began to pray and they began to agree with the word of God and the promises of God and began to declare things that were not as though they were. And instead of dying that night, she was eating cereal that night. And God's great power was displayed. It's the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And I'm here today able to preach to you because God's great power is real. God's great power is real, and God's great power is available to you and I. It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago and stopped when the stone was rolled away. But it's real and it's available today. This is the resurrection power. It's available to you and I. Now, you and I have been authorized. Can I have a little bit in this monitor? You and I have been authorized to use God's great power. We've been authorized. How many know that you've been given permission to use God? You can't just say, okay, I'm going to use this power of God. You have to be given authority to use it. You have to be given permission to use it, right? But who gave us the authority to use this power? It's none other than Jesus Christ. Mark 16, 17 said, "And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up." Listen, they're going to do all these miraculous things in my name, in my authority, because I gave them permission. All power has been given to me. Therefore, go. I'm going to share my power with you. I'm going to share the great power of God. It's through Christ Jesus that we gain access to the great power of God. Without Jesus, it's impossible. But with Jesus, all things are possible. Amen? It says all things are possible for those that believe. When he died on the cross for our sins, he connected us, reconnected us with God and his promises and his power. So if Jesus is the one that has reconnected us, Jesus is the one that has authorized us. And the Bible says he's seated with God in heavenly realms. He's got all the power. He's got all the honor. He's got all the respect. He's got all the authority. To do, it says he's above every ruler. He's above every authority. He's above everything. He's the head of the church. And we've been authorized by Jesus that's seated on the right hand of God the Father. And he's seated in all authority and all power. Why? Because God made it that way. God made it that way that he gave all the power and authority to Jesus. And Jesus is now sharing that authority and power with us so that we can have the great power of God active in our lives. God placed Jesus at the place of all authority now and forever. Not just, it might run out next week. Nope. This power, it's a limited time offer. Nope. now and forever. Now and forever, Jesus has made it available to us. And I'm happy that I serve a God that is powerful. I don't serve a powerless God. I don't serve an impotent God that can't do things. He can't move things. He can't change things. But no, I serve a God that is powerful. Paul tells us that the church now is Jesus' body. The church is an extension of Jesus. So anyone who tells you that I don't really believe in organized religion, you see, they've stopped really reading the word and they started to listen to popular culture, because the word of God actually says that Jesus, he's bringing everybody together, all the gifts come together and they form a body, his body, an extension of him. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. That takes a little bit of organization, amen? Now, we might not get it all right all the time. We might make mistakes. We might stumble. But if we're continuing to get back up, the Bible tells us we're righteous if we keep on getting back up and trying and improving ourselves and saying we've got to become this body. We've got to become the vision that Jesus has for his church. We got to become that bride that's spotless, that's without wrinkle. We got to get our act together as his church. We've got the great power of God at our disposal. But we got to get our act together. And so it says that we are his church, and Jesus is the head of the church, and he's got all authority, and he's sharing that authority with us. But we have a responsibility, because as we pray and we gain understanding about the great gifts of God and the great power of God, we realize that we have to work together to use it. As I'm gaining understanding about the power and about my relationship with Christ, I'm gaining understanding about unity and about God's heart for unity and about Jesus' prayer for unity when he said, Father, make them one. As you and I are one. You see, if we're all spread out and we're doing religion and we're doing Jesus differently, all on our own terms, we're not one. There's a great vision that Jesus had, and it was to build a people that would work together, and then not even the gates of hell would stand against this people, because they would be demonstrating the great power of God, that everywhere they went, that signs and wonders would follow them. That was the great power of God. But unity was essential. Working together was essential. The great power is available to those that know how to be in Christ and work together as his church. An extension of him that, watch this, here's the vision, to fill the earth with him. Not to fill the earth with religion, not to fill the earth with programs or things that we've done before that worked 25 years ago and we're still trying to do. No, it said to fill the earth with him. Jesus, his vision is to fill the earth with him. What Jesus is really great at, filling the earth with more of himself. And what we partner with Jesus to do is to fill the earth with more of him until everything reflects the glory of God, and everything is like God, and God is in heaven saying, holy, be holy, for I am holy. Now you're holy like I am holy, and the earth has been filled with more of Christ and more of Christ until it's just Christ. We have an awesome responsibility, and it takes a great amount of faith to stand in opposition to different ideas that are in the world. Because the world has lots of ideas. And the enemy loves to pervert godly concepts. But when we realize that the end result is still that God is saying, be holy as I am holy. And Paul is telling us that Jesus fills everything with himself.
And we as his church, an extension of him, the hands and feet of him, are to partner with him to fill the earth with more of him. Until there's more holiness and more righteousness, and we're returning back to the original plan that really works the best. There's no other plan that works as well as God's plan. Every other plan fails. Every other plan falls short. It's like an equation. It's like engineering, and the math is off. Everything falls apart when the math is off. So when we pervert the math, the equation always blows up. It falls apart. God wants to get us back to the original plan that blesses us, that we bless each other, that we build his kingdom, that we fill the earth and we take dominion and we make it like him. What an awesome responsibility that we are ambassadors, both personally and corporately. We are ambassadors of him to fill the earth with him. And we've been gifted with the great power of God to help us in pursuing that vision. The great power of God is at our disposal to accomplish this mighty mission of filling the earth with more him. Will you bow your heads with me today? God, I thank you, Lord. It's not a small thing that you're trying to accomplish, but a complete restoration of the earth, a complete restoration of our hearts, a complete mission of seeking and saving people that are broken and lost and confused and frustrated, hurt, devastated, sick, infirmed. You sent us on a mission to help them, to touch them, to bring them back to you. You've given us the power, your great power, to perform signs and wonders and miracles and healing, to bring people back to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. God, let us more fully understand. God, I pray that we would understand this great power. God, I pray that we would understand this great responsibility. God, I pray that we would understand the great things that you've called us to personally and as your church. God, that we would rise up, we would use this great power to bring people back to you. God, I thank you for that. God, touch our hearts. Stir up our faith, God, that we're not complacent, that we're not lazy, but God, that we are obedient. We're willing to take the risk of faith. We're willing to take the risk of sharing you and filling the world with you, filling the areas around us with you. We thank you, Father, for that. In your mighty name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.